We have a special episode today.
Yeah.
And this is a friend of Mary Weller's. Mm-hmm. And Mary, you met Vanessa, and our listeners will meet Vanessa here in a minute. Yeah. How did you meet Vanessa? And for our listeners, we have the privilege of meeting all kinds of people through the Ministry of Truth Exchange.
Mm-hmm.
And some of that is on a scholarly level. We have them on as guests. Others are not necessarily scholars, or they may be professionals. They may be simply just people who have been radically transformed by the gospel.
Mm.
And they have found the beauty of the hermeneutic of oneism and twoism.
Mm-hmm.
They've seen the application of the Romans 1:25. We exchange the truth of God for the lie, worship and serve creation rather than the Creator who's blessed forever. And their life has been radically changed. And we like to let our listeners know. We want our listeners to hear those kind of wonderful transformational stories that people are pulled from darkness into light, and they've seen how Truth Exchange has been beneficial in their life.
Yes.
So we're going to take an episode here to kind of highlight one of those stories.
Yes.
And this is somebody, Mary, that you've met, and you introduced her to Dr. Jones and Rebecca Jones, and later on you introduced her to me. Mary, tell us about Vanessa.
Vanessa is one of those people who is such a joy to meet. And the order that you introduced is a little bit wrong, because she found Dr. Jones long before she found me. As she became a Christian and began to take an assessment of all of the things that seemed disparate that she had put together as someone who was completely entrenched in the New Age.
Mm.
And we'll hear some of that story when she comes on. But for someone who is completely entrenched in the New Age and then found the truth of the gospel, she was trying to make sense of all of the things that she had believed before. And she knew that there was some kind of coherence underneath all of it, but she couldn't put her finger on it. And it was not until someone handed her a copy of The Other Worldview that she was able to put her finger on that. And that is what is so fascinating to me about Vanessa. Another person that we've spoken to recently on a previous episode is Will Spencer. Will Spencer had that same kind of experience where he was involved in neo-masculinity. He was involved in going to the Burning Man festivals. He traveled all over the world to participate in Hindu worship and purification rituals. He was involved in ayahuasca. And all of those things, it turns out, underneath them have one coherent worldview that is involved in that, that is the foundational to them. Vanessa was into crystals. She was a Marxist. She was a goddess worshiper. She was very into pagan rituals, and she was involved in tarot to a certain extent, as was Will Spencer, but she found that a little too dark. And so she had almost like one with almost a Christian veneer, which was angel cards. So she believed all of these things. They seemed like she was pulling from a bunch of different philosophies and theologies and putting them together to form her own religion. And what she found through the work of Truth Exchange was no, there really are only two religions. There is belief in the truth and there is belief in the lie. And there's a coherence to the lie that she had not recognized until she found Truth Exchange. So that's how Vanessa came across Truth Exchange. And then she started working on a degree at Master's University in Biblical Counseling. And through various experiences, some of which we'll talk about in this episode and some that I'm hoping we'll talk to her about in another episode in the future, was looking at the issue of transgenderism. And it was at that point that Vanessa reached out to Truth Exchange, and she sent an email, and the person who received it was Rebecca Jones. And as soon as Rebecca saw what Vanessa was dealing with, she put the two of us in touch. Mm. And that was the beginning of our friendship. So I did have the privilege then of having Vanessa down. She lives in Los Angeles and, you know, we're down here in Escondido. And so we had the opportunity to have her down. She stayed with our family for two nights. And during that time, we had dinner with Vanessa and Dr. and Mrs. Jones. And that was remarkable. And that was the first time that I really started thinking, man, we have got to have this lady on the podcast, because she was explaining to Dr. Jones the way that Truth Exchange had helped her to make sense of her past life and to talk about the things that she had been involved in and that her friends are still involved in a comprehensive, helpful way that allowed them to see the clarity of the gospel and the way that everything else but the gospel is in conflict with the gospel. And so I really wanted people to meet Vanessa that way. And what I have found working for Truth Exchange is that we do meet these people. And when they've had their eyes opened to the value of the one-ism, two-ism hermeneutic, when they can wrap their hands around it, even beginning on a very surface level, it changes the way that they talk. It changes the way that they minister. It changes the way that they are able to shine the light of the gospel in their own communities. And I wanted people to hear a little piece of that. And that's why I wanted everyone to meet Vanessa Alabarsis.
Excellent. We hope that you enjoy this podcast. Please remember, if this ministry has been important to you and it has impacted your life, we'd love to hear about it. Also, you can partner with us through your prayers as well as through financial contributions. And you can partner with us through visiting us online at www.truthexchange.com.
And Joshua, if I could just add to that a little bit, you do those plugs so beautifully, and I think it's important for our listeners to know, but I just want them to hear from a different perspective. The more that you like, the more that you follow the podcast, the more that you subscribe to us on YouTube, the more that you involve yourself through the mailing list, we are able to reach other people that way. There's something about the algorithms of, and Facebook too, there's something about the algorithms of each of these services that when people respond, when they interact with our content, it spreads it to other people. We can see that happening. And so we can't force you to do it. We wouldn't want to force you to do it, but we would ask you to do it because we believe that this ministry is vital to a Christian walk and to a Christian witness in a planet, as our ministry used to be known, Christian witness in a pagan planet. We want that witness. We want that information to get to as many people as possible. And that's one simple way that you can help us do that.
Welcome to the Truth Exchange podcast. This is the unique program where we have conversations about worldview, all through the lens of one-ism and two-ism. This lens is based on Romans 1:25. We've exchanged the truth of God for the lie. Worship and serve creation rather than the Creator who is blessed forevermore. I'm your host, Joshua Gilo. And again with me in the online studio is Mary Weller. Mary, good to have you.
Hi, Joshua. It's turning regular again. It's so fun.
It's very exciting. And then we have a special guest. Mary, actually, why don't you go ahead and do the introductions here?
Okay. All right. I'd like to introduce you guys to a friend of the ministry and also a dear personal friend on my part, Vanessa Alabarsis. And Vanessa and I got in touch via email. Actually, she had reached out to Truth Exchange when she was writing a booklet for Shepherd's Press on transgenderism, a booklet for parents. So similar to some of the work that I was doing. And we thought, well, maybe we'll just, you know, hop on a Zoom call and you know, see if we have any questions for each other. And I think, Vanessa, am I right? We spent like 2.5 hours on that first Zoom, just immediately friends. I mean, it was just phenomenal. So she has a beautiful testimony. I think she has a testimony that highlights so much of what we work with here at Truth Exchange, really explaining to Christians the worldview underneath so many of the things that are being accepted into the church that are unchristian, and also things that we need to understand so that we can speak to our unbelieving neighbors about the faith and the differences in the things that we believe. And Vanessa just spoke so beautifully to that, that I think it was on that first call, I was like, oh man, if we could ever get her on the podcast, that would be awesome. So I'm glad that we're finally doing it today.
How did you come to faith? Let's talk then about the work of Truth Exchange in your life.
I'm very stubborn, so I didn't get saved. I mean, it's all in God's providence, but I was 34. And I had grown up with Christian grandparents. They met in Bible college in Cuba, very solid, loved the Lord, would read the word consistently. Their kids went in a different direction and I followed right after them. And so I just thought, that's quaint. That's cute for my grandparents. I don't really need that. And I mean, my grandma would say like, oh, you just read too much, because I would just read everything I could. And the things that I would read, I mean, if my grandparents, who English was their second language, knew what I was reading, they'd probably be a little bit concerned. I mean, early on into things about spirituality, New Age stuff, I didn't know that's what it was called. In high school, I would read things on horoscopes. I was always attracted, now that I look back, I wouldn't have thought this at the time, to kind of darkness, to more occult themes and things, with a little bit of fear, but definitely like an attraction towards it. And so by the time I got to college, yoga was pretty popular, as you guys have talked about. And I was doing yoga classes at my college fitness center. There was Hare Krishna lunch at the college. This is in the South too. And I would go because it was like $5 or I think even cheaper, you know, so for a student. So I was exposed to even more and more stuff. I mean, in my freshman year of college, I was taking classes called Hindu Goddesses. You know, it's all about female empowerment through the Hindu goddesses. World religions. I was taking cultural anthropology classes, learning about animistic religions in Africa and how, you know, my professor, when he was out there, he saw them raise a body from the dead. And, you know, you're just kind of like, whoa, this is also interesting. A little bit of fear, but still just like a fascination. And I just got deeper and deeper into it. I wouldn't notice that. So over time, I mean, right before I got saved, I was deep into crystals. I had woven into my hair totems, you know, little animal totems. I was doing, you guys probably know Doreen Virtue. Well, I knew her before even I got saved, because I was using her divination cards. I was using those angel cards. I would teach it to young people in my life. You know, I thought I was just so spiritual. This is just such a good tool. I was talking to psychics, channelers. I was just trying to find what the universe is trying to tell me to do with my life, always. So there was this kind of searching and seeking, and God can use anything, because he even used that. And so I was on, I don't know if it was when I was on a plane. I was on a plane one time. I loved anything self-help, anything I could take to like advance myself. And I was on a plane, and it was Easter Sunday. It was 2017. I was on a work trip. I was going up to Vancouver, Canada from Colorado. And I remember driving, and this is funny, I'm not charismatic, but you know, there's some things that are just, you look back, you're like, this is so interesting. I was driving from the mountains where I live down to Denver to fly out. I see this big cross in the sky, and I took a picture of it. Like, it was made in the sky, and it was Easter Sunday. And I was like, oh, neat. You know, like across, you know, universe. And then I go to the airport, I'm on the plane, the door closes on the plane, and then they open the door. And they, you know, if you fly, you know, that's rare that they open the door again. And this lady comes on, and she's just like, oh, you know, like she got into the flight, and everyone's kind of looking, you know, we kind of held up, and she sits right next to me, and she's, oh. And we just start talking about all kinds of stuff. The transgender stuff. So even before I got saved, I was thinking about this, because Jordan Peterson was talking about it at the time. And he talked about it as the pronoun, forcing pronouns as a form of totalitarianism. Mm. I grew up in Cuba. And even though I was very lefty, and that's like part of my testimony too, that I was like, he's right. That's true. You can't force people to say things like that. Like, there's something really wrong with that. So God was working on me in lots of ways, and I was changing a lot in this process. So when this lady sits down next to me, I'm like kind of more conservative than I ever was, even though I was very lefty. And so we're talking, and she's like, oh, she told me she was Catholic originally, and she was abused by a priest. And she's telling me this on the plane, like sitting next to each other. And I was like, really? Like, oh, and she was so excited to go to her Easter service at church. That's why she was so glad she got on this plane. And I'm like, you're going to Easter service and you were abused by a priest when you were little. Like, how do you reconcile that? How do you reconcile that when you were little with your faith? And she goes, well, a man did that to me, not God. Oh, yeah. And so that stuck. And so then when she suggested I get a book by her pastor, I was like, oh yeah, sure. She goes, it's called A Purpose-Driven Life. And so I take it in because I was like, self-help with a Christian veneer.
Sure.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And again, God had been softening my heart where I was more hard-hearted to Christianity stuff before over the years. And especially in that last year before, he'd really just softened my heart. I mean, I just remember one day thinking before I was a believer, I think abortion's murder. And that thought came out of nowhere. I had been, you know, socialized and propagandized by, you know, life and, you know, our culture that's a woman's choice. You know, I don't want to do that. That's a woman's choice. So one day I remember I was in my kitchen in Colorado and I was like, I think abortion's murder. I was like, where'd that come from?
Yeah.
So I'm watching Jordan Peterson. This lady hand tells me about A Purpose-Driven Life. And then a channeler who I had talked to and I watched her videos would talk the night before that trip. So this all kind of happened condensed. He mentioned in this emotional video about, and it's all like one is stuff. I re-listened to it recently and I was like, oh, she's crazy, but she really emotional about, I mean, I pray for her. I was crazy too. I paid her money, so I'm not any better. I wanted her peace. But she talked about her grandmother's Bible. And she's like, people at that time, they took their religion seriously. Like, she's like, my grandma prayed. And the one thing I wanted when she died was her Bible. And I'm like thinking of my grandma, who at the time was still alive. And, you know, all she wanted me to do was read the Bible when I was little. And I was like, no, thanks. So I would read everything, but I wouldn't read the Bible. She even tried to bribe me. I didn't want anything to do with it. And so I thought about that. So I'm hearing, get a Bible, Jordan Peterson, get a Bible, this, you know, channeler, get a Bible from A Purpose-Driven Life. So there's no gospel in there. I don't recommend that book, but God uses everything. So he used, you know, a necromancer, Jordan Peterson, and what's his name? Rick Warren. Like, he can use anything. get a Bible. So I'm a nerd and I researched it and I was like, okay. Now Peterson was talking about getting one with an apocrypha. I was like, I don't even know what that is. And again, it's all the Holy Spirit like guiding you, because I didn't know. I didn't know to, hey, maybe not that one. And I got an ESV study Bible and I ordered it and it just sat there for a while because I guess it wasn't time. I'd try and read it and I couldn't figure it out. Now I was trying to read it high. You know, it's not a good time to read. Like, in all just full disclosure. And I was flying. Oh, there we are. So I take the Bible and I start reading it at some point on the plane going over the Atlantic. And I start, oh, and my grandma had mentioned, because I had mentioned to her, oh, I bought a Bible. And she somehow hid her enthusiasm, you know, for the last 34 years, her prayers may finally be answered. And I was like, yeah, but I'm having a hard time because I think I was starting with articles, like, because it's a study Bible instead of just like with the actual Bible. She goes,
yeah,
just starting one of the Gospels. I was like, oh. Okay. And so I'm on the plane and I'm very academic. So I start with the first one, you know, and I start reading it and I get to Matthew 7. And later when I read in, you know, Paul's testimony, I realized what happened, but it felt like that, like scales fell off my eyes. So as I'm reading it, I go, oh, this is all true. And if it's true, I'm in big trouble. Like, my life doesn't line up with this.
Okay. Here's, I'm going to channel my Jordan Peterson. What do you mean by true?
the words aren't like, this really happened. All of this really, this isn't a story. This isn't an allegory. This isn't a myth. Like, this all really happened. And, you know, it starts with a genealogy, right? And so this is all leading up, like, and then when I get to Matthew 7 And he's like, you'll know them by their fruits. And then you get to, like, if you build your life on the rock versus if you build your life on the sand. I'm like, oh, he's talking about, that's what my life is on sand, you know, and he's the rock. And because I had a study Bible, like I do encourage people just read God's word. And that is what transformed me. But because before I got to that, I was reading all the notes and I was getting the context and I was understanding, like, again, this really happened. This isn't a story. This isn't a time and a place. These are real people.
Mm-hmm.
So his claims are, if I'm believing them, they're real. Like, a real person is making these claims and it's true. And I'm like, oh no, I'm in big trouble. And by the time I got to my hotel in Africa, I didn't know what I was doing was repenting, you know, but I was like, God, forgive me. Like, oh no, you know, like everything I've done is wrong. And then the first thing I listened to after that, and it was terrible Wi-Fi connection in this, like I'm in Botswana, Africa, like not even in a capital, like out in the boonies where you're going to like go on safari. And I'll tell you, immediately I felt a shift. Like, I don't know how to explain it, but I know after that I had desires that I'd never had before. And I'm talking like immediately, not like, oh, a year after, like immediately, like I was like, oh, I need to go to church. What am I doing here in Africa? I cursed all the time. And it wasn't like, oh, I need to clean up my act. It was like, that hurt when it came up. Like, it didn't feel good. You know, one flies every now and then if I stub my toe or something. But, you know, because my heart's still stuck in there. But, like, the way I talked before was just foul. And that felt gross coming out. So everything changed. And then while I'm in this hotel room, spotty, terrible Wi-Fi, I don't know how. It was the Lord. The first sermon I pull up was by John MacArthur. It was from 1973. And it was on demons and magic.
Oh, wow.
That's the first thing I listened to. And I hear it and I go, oh no, I was in even bigger trouble than I knew. Like, I was straight up talking to demons. Like, I was living a life guided by demons. You know, I was in a kingdom of darkness. So after that, I just soaked up scripture and was reading and reading and reading, and you know, everything I'm hitting, I'm like, oh my goodness, that's true. That was my life. Oh, kingdom of darkness transferred into a kingdom of light. It was like, yes, I saw that happen. Like, so on the plane, I was like, oh, this is true. It just got revealed more and more and more as I kept reading. I was like, this explains everything. And then, yeah. And then similarly, not that long after, I came across, I think it was Truth Exchange videos first. And then, where did I learn about the other worldview? It might've been someone gave me, like recommended that book, and I bought it. And that is one of the best ones to explain everything. Cause what he's talking about in there, I'm like, oh, this is all the stuff that I was into. And it explained. And so one is just explain everything I was into. And that make I was one with, you know, the goal is to be one with the universe. You know, you're vibrating with, you know, you're manifesting your reality and all this and that. And then to see how distinct biblical Christianity is, how distinct Tuism is, it gave me a framework to understand kind of where I'd been and where I am now. And also in talking to people now, because people are like, what happened to you? You know, I can use that too. And with a lot of people, it gets them thinking. It's a really good question about when you start talking, they'll tell me, oh, I've never heard that before. You know, but from the Bible, you know, and then you can kind of point them to the Bible, because that's really where I know from my experience, no one shared the gospel with me, or if they did, I didn't hear it.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't, it was really God's word that grabbed me and changed my heart.
So Vanessa, I'd like to dig further into this experience that you had then. Once, praise God, you became a Christian. I think that you had mentioned that when you started looking for churches, some of the churches that you found were very influenced by some of the old ideas that you were leaving behind. So I was wondering if you could talk about that, because that's something we deal with all the time at Truth Exchange, trying to teach churches that not all spiritual practices are acceptable, nor can they be sanitized. So I know you saw some of that. Mm-hmm. I'd also like to know, whether you understood that there was a coherence behind your old worldviews and practices until you ran into Dr. Jones, or if that was a whole new revelation to you.
I'll start with that one. That was a whole new revelation, because it's such like the new age and that kind of, you know, spiritual but not religious seems like such a patchwork that you're just, oh, I like a little bit of this and I like a little bit of that. And I'll take some Christianity that doesn't cost me anything, you know, so yeah. I'll read Purpose Driven Life, and you can kind of put all this together and you think, I guess you're like, oh yeah, it's all one, but you don't see it in the way that he's talking about, that Dr. Jones is talking about. I needed him and his hermeneutic to be able to really understand that there was a cohesiveness to what I was believing. Like that all of it, like the tattoo, like the crystals, like all of it is this one thing. And there is a stark contrast to that. Like, so now who I am and what I believe is a stark contrast to that and to everything else, which is
spiritual but not religious. And they drive around with like the all is one stickers on their cars, and they say it's all connected, everything's all connected, which is true. Like, it is all connected, but I think we understand that as twoists in a way that oneists who haven't had their eyes open really don't recognize. Like, it seems that they do feel that they are gods in a way because they get to create their own religion. And so it seems like they're building this great recipe, but the result is always the same. The underlying ideas are always the same. And I think that they're kind of surprised when they hear someone, a Christian, describe oneism to them. Like, I've heard Carl Tykrib talk about that, where he's had people kind of shocked and say, yes, that is what I believe, but like they had never been able to put a system to it.
Yeah, no, exactly. And it's so funny because you really, in a way, you understand, but you don't see it. You don't really understand, or you see it in a way, but you don't understand, because even in that world, all's one, we're all good, we coexist, but really Christianity, right, unless you're going to play by these rules, you're out.
Right.
You're wrong, which is right. We are out. It is twoist. Mm-hmm. It is completely different. So they're on to something, but it's coming from a place of, we have the right idea, which is, you know, that we're all one. Thank you guys.
The issues that face society are really at the heart a worship issue.
Yeah.
And I, you know, every decade, the church, and I say church broadly, the church has what they call worship wars. Contemporary music versus classical music, hymnals versus overhead, electric guitar or piano or a cappella, psalms or psalms and psalms and psalms, right? And those are important wars, but there is a greater worship war that is always at play, and that is the Romans 1 worship war. It is worshiping creation or worshiping the Creator. And so to try and communicate that to not only to the church, because they are in a worship war, not just every decade, and it's not just over hymnals versus overhead, are we worshiping the creature rather than the Creator who is blessed forever? And so that is what we labor for here at Truth Exchange, is to get to that. So Mary, give it back to you. That's my little monologue. Oh no.
I love that. Well said. And I think it leads me to that second question that I'd ask first, which is, you mentioned that you would come into churches and you were seeing that they were doing things that you recognized as inappropriate for a twist worldview. You wouldn't call it that yet. I was wondering if you could speak to that.
Definitely. I mean, I remember when I read Dr. Jones's Pagan in the Pews, and I go, oh my goodness. And I looked back, like, the copyright, I go, he wrote this so long ago, but this is happening right now. Which is, anything him or his wife wrote, I like check the copyright. I'm like, oh my goodness. Like, I'll like make a list as I'm reading, like, they predicted this, they predicted this. So what could have easily happened to me, but God was very kind, is I could have gotten sucked into the NAR. because the New Apostolic Reformation is very much just New Age with a Christian veneer.
Yeah.
And so I got, praise the Lord, he took me, the first church I was in wasn't the most sound, but it wasn't crazy. And it wasn't NAR. In a way it was good. I was just isolated up in the mountains. There weren't that many options.
Yeah.
But I would just see really like surface level stuff at, you know, at best sometimes where they really just weren't explaining. I mean, I had just come out of darkness and I don't think they were really, you know, hitting what a big deal that is. It just seemed almost like a motivational speech sometimes to get you through the week, you know, feel good with some Bible. So I was hungry and God put that hunger in me. And so it protected me from going definitely towards the NAR. Like I could just like, whoa, that's super pagan. What is going on there? They're like doing grape soaking and they have like, what, Christian tarot cards? That can't be real. And so that was almost easy to see. But even in super sound churches overall, solid teaching, I get shocked sometimes how people don't notice certain things that are from a oneist worldview that are all over our culture, and they just kind of take it in without knowing. For me, because I was in that world, I can see it. So I try and have grace that they don't see it, but it's almost kind of shocking. It's like, wait, that is so clearly oneist. Maybe I've learned this, but obviously yoga is an obvious example, you know? But you see all kinds of stuff, movies that people watch, entertainment. We're like, that is super pagan. But yeah, so it's an interesting line for me because I know a lot of it because I came out of it, and I came out of it at such an age where I'm very aware now. But sometimes you can seem like a fuddy-duddy around people because you're like, I don't know about that. Like, have you thought about that? They're just like worshiping creation, that it's all about the elements of like fire and water and earth. I mean, even looking back at Captain Planet, our hero, right. I was like,
the power is yours.
I guess. So here's just my last wrap up from this end is, again, a two-parter. If you could talk to people, let's say Christians, what is the top book by Dr. Jones that you would recommend? And what article have you read that's accessible just for free online? I know that there are a number of articles that you've mentioned, but are there two? So book and article, what are the two that you would send people to?
The Other Worldview, hands down. I mean, I love everything he's written that I've gotten to read, and I've read quite a bit, but The Other Worldview just explained it so well. And funny story, I was talking with a friend, we were texting about something the other day, and he texts me, oh, you should read this book. And I was like, oh, I read that book. It's actually super good. So that one, the article is going to be more biased on what I have studied for a while, but it's the one on pagan sexuality.
Androgyny.
Androgyny, that one. You recently put it on the Truth Exchange newsletter. What I didn't realize, it was like, oh, you just put the whole article in different parts. But I was like, oh, I'd never read parts. So like it was a secret treasure trove I didn't have access to. And I was like, oh, that's just the same article. I have that article. But that article was so good. I think about that all the time, even beyond the research I did on transgenderism, of just that androgyny is the pagan ideal, and you just it opens your eyes to look at our culture in a completely different way. And culture wars, as it's, I think Carl Tichgrib, which you guys, I know you work a lot with him, he talks about like culture's really downstream of what you think in terms of worship and religion. And then it clicks, it makes sense. Oh, the paganism is what is fueling this. So when we're seeing this rise in gender confusion, sexual confusion, all this stuff, promiscuity, all this, it's like, oh, of course, we're becoming more pagan.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
This concludes our recording of the Truth Exchange podcast. If you've enjoyed the program, be sure to like and subscribe, share with a friend. Also, please prayerfully consider supporting us on a monthly basis or a one-time gift, do that by visiting us online at www.truthxchange.com. Again, I'm your host, Joshua Gilo. We'll see you next week.